Made new. Made new in Christ, part one. So like millions of believers across the planet, we say three words. What are they? He has risen. Come on, Levi, say it with us. He has risen. And a powerful, powerful time. You know, it's not just, I think someone said notorious. It's a notorious weekend. Well, I think it's the wrong word, notorious. Maybe it's a bad, no? But it's a victorious, victorious weekend. And I want to tell you now that as believers, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus because of what it brings. Amen. And you know that at the time, in that moment, there was despair, there was sadness, Jesus was the guy that was going to save the Jewish people, or so they thought. And he was going to bring them power and bring them all the things that the Father, that God had promised the Israelites under Abraham. Jesus, this Messiah, was going to restore all of that stuff to them and remove the Romans and set the Israelites up back to where their former glory was before the Romans came and subdued them. Amen. And so this is the man, Jesus, this person who's supernatural, walks in water, raised the dead, turns water into wine. And they are so blown away by what this guy is. They believe he's God. They believe he's the Messiah. And what happens? He tells them a number of times, he tries to warn them about stuff that's coming up, and they just keep ignoring him, of course. And eventually, he gets murdered. He gets nailed to the cross like a common thief. Matter of fact, with two other guys. He gets nailed to the cross, and he gets killed. And they take him, and they bury him in a tomb. And so, of course, the Jews, his disciples, and the people that are around him are like devastated. They're like, what on earth has gone on here? Like, this can't be right. And so there's darkness, disillusionment, all kinds of stuff. But on the third day, Jesus rises again. Amen? And so that's where we pick up this morning. The hopes and dreams dashed, but he comes to restore those things. He comes to bring power again. But there's a couple of things that we have to do and believe for that to happen. Amen? So let's read together. Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who wants to be known as the other Mary? This is Mary Magdalene, and that's the other Mary. Went to look at the tomb. Hey, send the ladies, eh? Where's the men? Do you know how often you meet a lady here because the husband and wife are looking for a new church and the husband sends the wife out? It wasn't me. And the wife arrives like, we're looking for a new church, me and my husband. Where's the husband? He's at home. So Lord, help the men. Matter of fact, Donnie coming on Tuesday, on the 2nd of June, diarises. If you have your diaries with you right now, pull them out on your phone. 2nd of June, Friday night, Brotherhood. Remember the last one we had? How powerful it was last year. Donnie's coming to another one. 2nd of June, Friday evening, Brotherhood. For the men. We had over 100 men here the last time. Let's try and make it 500 this time. There was a violent earthquake, and the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Rolled back the stone and sat on it. That word roll is not really the word roll, it's to take it away. But anyway, we'll get there just now. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. Think about that. His appearance was like lightning. You can't look at lightning, or you can, but it's very bright. The gods were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Verse 5, the angel said to the woman, don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. But you, oaks, wouldn't believe him. come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you so. So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Afraid yet full of joy. Afraid yet full of joy. But look at that. It says, so the woman hurried away. So the woman saw the angels, believed what they saw, remembered the words of Jesus, and then ran away to go and speak to the other disciples. Big point number one. A proper response to Easter is faith. Now, when I say Easter, I mean Resurrection Sunday, but we're talking about this time frame. The world does not reference Easter as Easter, except maybe with chocolate. And I hope you got chocolate this morning. I got none. Just kidding. Mine's getting home. When I get home, I get my chocolate. After I wash the dishes. For those of you not married, block your ears. You see, faith is a proper response to what took place that day. Resurrection Sunday. Now, you might be sitting here full of doubt and fear, like, well, Craig, I don't know if I believe that. You know, sounds like a fairy tale to me, someone coming out of the grave, out of the tomb. Like, how do we even know that it happened? Well, put it this way. Jesus is a real person. He was a real person. Okay, let's talk about historical figure here. You can go to Israel today. Did you change? You didn't change your batteries. Oh, you changed your batteries. No, yes. He's a historical figure. If you go to Israel today, you can go to the place where this person, Jesus, who the Jews will tell you was a real person. They won't tell you, nah, it's rubbish. It's a Christian thing. No, this guy, Yeshua, who was the lineage of Joshua from Abraham all the way down. We understand that from you've got the Old Testament all the way down. And the Jews will tell you, the Torah, this Jesus is, we understand. He was a real man. He's referenced. You can go and walk the same road, the same place, to the Via della Rosa, where he carried the cross beam of the top of the cross and went. But he was not God. He was just a guy that was crucified. They know that. But he, to them, is a prophet. Yeshua the prophet, like Islam, they say that his name is Isa in Islam, in the Quran, Isa. He was a good man. He was a prophet. Well, I want to tell you, both those have got it incorrect, because either he was God or he was a madman. He couldn't have been a prophet, because he never referenced himself as a prophet. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And we know that God called himself, I am. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees of the day would sneer and be angry and, like, basically, you are not who you say you are. You are not God. You can't be this person. You are some guy who's a deceiver. But yet now, they'll tell you that he was a prophet. And like the Quran, Jesus is a prophet. And he'll come back one day, they believe that. We believe that he wasn't the prophet. He is a prophet, apostle, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. But he's also the Son of God. He is God himself. He said so. Amen? So you can walk that road. So this man, Jesus, actually existed. The Bible tells us that he rose from the dead. So there's a number of things. People have doubted and said, nah, they don't believe that. And they've gone and researched and gone and looked, unbelievers. And after the research of traveling to Israel and just doing research, have come out believers, gone, flip, I believe that this guy actually rose from the dead. So just a few things. Number one, the gods, if you go read Romans 27, I think it is, the Pharisees come to Pilate and say to him, this deceiver, they call him a deceiver, said that he's going to die and be raised from the dead again after 3 days. These oaks are going to come and steal, well, they didn't call them oaks, by the way, are going to come and steal his body. But Pilate says to the Pharisees, or these guys, he's like, I tell you what, take a guard of soldiers. Now, a guard was 16 Roman centurions, trained soldiers. Take a guard of soldiers and seal the tomb. Put a stone in front of it and seal it with an official seal. And he says, and secure it as you wish, as you want to. Because obviously Pilate himself was a bit afraid of what was happening with this guy and all his disciples, because he didn't want issues. He was already warned by Caesar, if there's any more stuff here, I'm taking you, I'm going to put you in some backwaters place. So he was afraid for his own future. So he didn't want resurrection and insurrection, rather. So he was quite happy, but he was like, kind of, I washed my hands of this thing, but you make sure then. And yet here we see the Pharisees later go to the guards, they said to the guards, we'll pay you handsomely. You tell the Pilate and the people that they came and stole his body in the night. And don't worry, we'll sort you out with Pilate. Now in those days, if a guard, so there were 16 guys, and generally they have four standing guard at one time. The other 12 would be sleeping. And then they'd swap over and over. It's a 24-hour guard until such time as that deemed it was not necessary anymore. If you broke rank or you left, you would be killed. They were very afraid. So we understand something went down there with what happened at that tomb with these 16 people. But there's nothing really written about that afterwards. We just know what was said about that night. The stone itself, 1.5 to 2 tons. It took many men to roll that stone in place and then sealed. The Bible says the stone was taken. If you look at that word, it says roll, but it actually is lifted and moved away. So you had men who were able to lift that stone and move it away. The Bible says the angels sat on it. So they didn't like 20 guys pushing this 2-ton rock, pulling it out of that gap, moving it, and then dropping it on the floor that far away so you could squeeze in. It was moved away. The seal was broken. You couldn't just come and break the seal. Those guards were to guard it with their life. When Peter got in, when they walked in there and ducked down, it was about 5 feet, about that high. When they looked inside, there was the grave clothes neatly folded. If you're going to steal a body, you're not going to undress that body and then fold the grave clothes up and put them down. That was widely known. This is what they found. The grave clothes were neatly folded. Jesus rose from the dead. The first thing he did was folded laundry. For you men out there, if you don't wash dishes. If you wash dishes and fold laundry, woo! He appeared to people, over 500 people at one time. There's another one about the resurrection. 12 men. Forget about the others that we don't know about, but these 12, we know went to gruesome deaths, many of them. Peter hung upside down, crucified. So these guys get together in a room, 12 guys, and they say, listen, yeah, friends, we got a problem. This guy's body's been stolen. Now, we thought he was the Messiah, but his body's been stolen. What we're going to do is we're going to go out and tell everybody that he rose from the dead. We're going to tell everyone, this guy rose from the dead. But what happens if they want to torture us? And then, you know, no, you do not give in. And what happens if it's like 20, 30 years from now? You do not give in to the lie. You keep holding on that, you hold on, you say he rose from the dead. Who's going to do that? 30 years, you're 25 and now you're 55, 60. And they are going to stab you, cut your head off, crucify upside down. My risen Savior. No one's going to do that. All 12 are going to hold that position for 30 years. Hey, come on now. Surely not. More than just the 12, by the way. Amen? You can rest assured that Jesus rose from the dead. This man rose from the dead. Outside of the physical facts, you have spiritual things. You have that man for 3 years, or 33 years, 3 years ministry, and look what impact Jesus has had on this planet. The greatest leader that's ever lived, and he had 3 years to do it. 3 years, that's God for you. Amen. You can read Josephus. Josephus was a historian. A secular historian. Many, many other guys wrote about Jesus who are not believers or not Jews. And Josephus talks about this person named Jesus who performed magic tricks. This is what was discussed. Magic tricks. He would do things to like magic stuff. People would like be astounded by the magic tricks he could do. But we know there were miracles, because we know that this person that lived did these things before he died. Amen? So you can rest assured, my friends. Faith is the proper response. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. I want to encourage you now. There might be people here this morning that have never believed that Jesus, they've never given their hearts to the Lord. Today is your day. Amen? Amen. And if you have given your hearts to your Lord and you are a believer, you need to start speaking faith. I'm telling you, if faith can't move your mouth, it won't move your mountain. Amen? Dawn's been saying a lot lately. Babe, you need to be better. No, she's not. She's been saying, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. I have no doubt my daughter will ABC, my son will ABC. I have no doubt that our finances, I have no doubt that Grace Life will be. I have no doubt that this country is going to be. I have no doubt that, I have no doubt. I'm going to believe with all my heart. I have no doubt. Amen. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I wake up, fear's on me, something comes on me. I realize there's stuff going on that starts to just 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just go, I am a son of the Most High God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your plans are to prosper me, not to give me a hope and a future, not to bring me harm, Father. I can rest assured. And I'll just go over and over and until my mind, that other stuff just disappears. Amen? Amen? Do you believe in the prosperity gospel? I believe in a God that wants to prosper me into abundance. You can call that what you want. I don't know what you call it. Jeremiah 29, I have plans to prosper you. What is prosperity? It's just to live in abundance. Amen? Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack. In other words, the Lord is my shepherd, I will live in abundance. Come on, amen. Amen. Yeah. All right, number two, Easter confronts our fears, or the resurrection confronts our fears. Fear, my friends, is a driving force in the world today. Everything drives. Everything is driven through fear. Almost everything. Corruption, you think about corruption. Country or around the world, actually, it's not just particular to South Africa. It's almost said where you find politicians. Well, you want to say that when you find politicians, you find corruption. In fact, you find corruption in every sphere, everywhere, all over the place, because corruption is driven by fear. What is corruption? I'm going to take something I didn't work for. Why? Because I'm afraid of my future. My future. I need this thing in my future. If it's an offshore account or my children's accounts or whatever, I need, or my child's car or my child's education or something that I need for my life, because it's not going to come unless I steal. If I trust God, if I have faith and I'm secure, then I know the Father's the one who's going to bring about that to me. It might not be tomorrow. I might have to wait for a little while, but it's okay. God will bring it. Amen? I just got to trust Him. Just got to hold on to faith. I got to believe. Don't go into fear. See, fear controls. Faith releases. Faith is secure. I'm secure in who I am as a son. Well, I want to be more and more. Amen. So I keep believing. I keep trusting. The Father is the most secure person in the universe. When God planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where did He plant it? The word in the Hebrew, middle, if you go read your Genesis, the word middle there in the Hebrew means to intersect. So God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil right in the middle of the Garden of Eden. Not on the highest mountain or the lowest valley where you wouldn't find it. Right in the middle. Why? Because you had to make a decision every day to believe Him and to listen and obey His voice. Every day. See, that's security. That's security. I'm so secure. I'm happy for you to live in free will. Matter of fact, God's love demands that He gives us free will. Because without free will, there's no love. What? If I love my wife, or if I love someone, I'm not going to force them to be with me. Because I love you enough to let you go. If you love me, you'll come back. Amen? So the Father is very secure in his love for us and very secure in himself. You can reject him all you want. He's very secure. His hand stays open like this. He doesn't do this. And people have a wrong understanding of the Father. They think that he's like that. They think that he's highly insecure and that he's very angry with them all the time because they're always dropping the ball. The Father says, listen, you son, you have free will. You can do what you want. But if you do things that are not good for you, you're going to reap the consequences thereof, my boy or my girl. What do you want? So I want you to walk with me and talk with me so that you can reap good things in this life. Amen. Why? Because you have the resurrection power in you, which is my point number three, and I'll get to that just now. We don't have to be driven by fear. We can be full of joy. It's easier said than done if the first thing we reach for is the news, 24. The first thing we reach for is Facebook. The first thing we reach for is those friends of ours that have voices of fear and the voices of reason. Actually, the first thing we've got to reach for is someone who's leading in the church, who I can see is good fruit in their lives. The first thing I reach for is the Word of God. The first thing I reach for is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Fear of failure, fear of death. Some of you sitting right now, I want to tell you now, if you're sitting with mental health, the Father can heal you. Do you know that nowhere in the Bible do you see a lamb in the Old Testament being tortured? They took the lamb, either cupped it a couple times, beat it, grabbed its fur, wool, pulled it off, kicked it, kneed it, stabbed it, whacked it with something, and then took it to the priest, and then the priest said, nowhere. Spotless, blemish-free lamb. Blood on the altar. Why was the Lamb of God tortured? Beaten beyond recognition. Flogged with a flagellum. Flagellum was a wooden stick about that long, about a foot long, about an inch wide, with a leather strap on it. With 4 to 6 leather thongs. They were about the same length. With bone and stone and sometimes glass wrapped in it, like put together, made professionally by the flagellum makers. Flagellums are us. No time to joke now, eh, Leah? Serious stuff. And they would tie you over some sort of post and then hit you from here to your shoulder blades. And that guy, grown man, would take that thing and he would put, wah, wah, 40 minus 1, 39, because they say over 40 you would die from it. It would kill you. Just one of those. Think about it, just one. Just one. And he pulls that back. It's left ridges and holes in your back. Just one. Now, another one. And another one, 39 times. His beard pulled out, beat, spat on, punched from that night before all the way to the next afternoon. Over 24 hours. Tortured. Why was Jesus tortured? Let's read somewhere. Isaiah 53:5 in the New Living Translation. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. The Lamb of God tortured for you and me so that we could be whole and healed. Come on now. Nowhere is Jesus commanded to go through this. You will go to the cross and you will be tortured. Nowhere. He just put up his hand and said, send me, here I am. Free will. He could have said no. Matter of fact, he says to his disciples, I could call 12 legion of angels to come. I could pray to the Father and he'll send 12 legions. A legion was between 2,000 and 6,000 soldiers. Let's put it at 2,000 soldiers. A legion of soldiers. 12. 24,000 angels Jesus could have called on. And he just said, nope, it's not finished yet. The beating isn't finished. Father, I pray for mental health right now. People struggling with mental health in this building and online right now. I pray, Father God, that you would turn and change mindsets in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Where people suffer from depression and dark, glooming thoughts. They wake up at 2, 3 in the morning. They can't go back to sleep for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Insomnia, Father. Mental anguish, Father. I come against it in the name of Jesus, and I pray healing and wholeness right now by the stripes and the bruising of Jesus, Father. This is what you promised us as your children, Lord. And I pray right now that this be done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. No matter where you find yourself today, my friends, doom and gloom and disillusionment, there is hope because of the resurrection of Jesus. You are made new in Christ. Amen? And of course, if you don't believe in Jesus, today is the day for you to turn. Amen? Point number three, and I've got 5 minutes left. Allow Jesus to take the old and make it new. In 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, let's say anyone is in Christ. Interesting, that's a phrase that Paul used very often. A phrase that Paul coined, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And I believe it's synonymous with being in the ark. Very similar thing. In Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's why I believe in eternal security, because I don't believe that even if the guys in the Ark of the Covenant, Noah's Ark, were freaking out and full of doubt and go, I can't handle this. They were sealed in from the outside by God himself. It says God sealed the Ark before he sent the rain. Do you know that? Go read that. It says that the Father sealed the Ark from the outside. You are sealed, the Bible says, with the deposit of the Holy Spirit. You are a new creation, born again. Why would God take that away from you? Amen. That's another whole story, that. But I'm convinced that we are eternally secure. Even if we falter, the Father is there faithful. Amen. Gift of righteousness, made holy by the blood of the Lamb. Not by your works, by the blood of the Lamb. If your works couldn't get you into heaven, how do your bad works get you out of it? Amen. But what happens to bad works do stop the flow of the grace of God. Why? Because bad works are generally not based on faith, they're based on fear, and fear does not access grace. Romans 5:2, Paul tells us it's faith that accesses the grace of God. So if you want to walk in the grace and the power of God, you have to, by your own volition and self-will, believe in everything the Father has given you. Amen. See, Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. That's where God placed them, and that's where they fell. Where did the resurrection take place? In John 19:41, at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Interestingly, that Jesus gets raised in a garden. Just as everything of the old has passed away, and Adam and Eve messed up that garden, essentially brought the curse on the earth. Not from God, mind you. From Adam and Eve. You've got a couple of words to have with them when we get to heaven. Do you know that heaven is not our final destination? The Bible says that in Revelation 21, that John sees the church, the body of Christ, coming out of heaven onto the new earth. The new earth is your destination, not heaven. And what you do on this earth echoes on the new earth. What you do on this earth sets you up for responsibility on the new earth. Just remember that. Heaven is not your destination. The new earth is. And if it's a new earth, it'll look like the old earth, but just very different. Amen? But also round, but new. Amen? God has made you new, but as I said earlier on, we have to believe it and walk in it. He does not force us to do that. So listen to this. Colossians 2:6 says, so then, just as you received Jesus, how did you receive him? By faith. Continue to live in him. Why did Paul have choice words for the Galatian church? Because what were they doing? They had gone back under the works of the law to continue on with their Christianity. What is the works of the law? I tick boxes. Hey, Craig, I heard you guys, grace life. Hey, grace, grace, grace. Are you soft on sin? We are hard on unbelief. Everything is not a faith of sin, Paul tells us in Romans chapter somewhere, verse somewhere. 4 verse 7. If you're sitting down with me and I'm your friend, I'm saying to you, hey man, that attitude is not good. Your character is paramount in the kingdom of God. God wants us to become like his son, who had a perfect character. You can be the most gifted person in the world, but have a terrible character. You ain't going nowhere. Amen? Our characters sustain us where our gifting takes us. I'm out of time. Talk about character. You got another 2 minutes, right? 20 minutes? You give me an hour. No, it's Easter. I'm going to go to chocolate. Next, I just saw Easter eggs thrown at me. We continue to live in him. How? By faith. You living with your girlfriend, living with your boyfriend as a believer? Hey, Craig, what do you say about that? Ooh, grace life, eh? What do you say about that? Hey, it's not good, bro. Yeah, exactly. Living in sin. Do you sin, sir? Yes. Well, how often do you sin? But every day, exactly. Then you're living in sin too. Everything's not a faith of sin. None of us have perfect faith. We all mess up every day. We believe things you shouldn't believe, say things you shouldn't say, do things you shouldn't do. And then James tells us the good that we ought to do, that which we don't do is sin. So even the good stuff that we're supposed to do, don't do is sinning. Who was at the old age Arcadia a few Saturdays ago to help pray and go love on the people? We have about 400 on a Sunday morning here, 380 on both meetings. It was 40 or 45 people there, 10%. Perhaps God spoke to a lot of people to be there and they weren't there. They were sinning. Who speaks to you about your sin? There. Amen. The problem is if we do that often, it's just bad for my future in the kingdom. Because the Lord wants you to listen to his voice and walk it out. That's it. And so we want to be hard on unbelief because unbelief doesn't access the grace of God and take me to where God wants to take me, which is my destiny. I encounter God, find community, and I've got to fulfill my destiny. I cannot fulfill my destiny without walking by faith. Amen. Why don't we stand together? See to it, rooted, verse 7, and built up in him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Listen to that. Strengthened in the faith. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Interesting, doesn't say, don't worry, God will protect you and you will not get taken captive. Paul tells us that, he tells me, Craig, you see to it that no one takes you captive. Be careful what you believe. Amen? For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Now what does it say there? Trichasablif. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Verse 10, let's read that together. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. That's you and I. In Christ, I have the fullness of Jesus in me. Thank you, Father. I have the power of God in me. I can walk as a son. When you get saved, the last thing I want to say here before I pray, when I get born again, I get saved. At that moment, I get saved from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death and hell. While I'm walking out this life, I get saved from the power of sin, addictions, fear, all those things that hold on. I have the ability to not walk in that stuff because I have the power of God in me. And when I die one day, I get saved from the presence of sin. Amen? What a powerful thought. Why don't we close our eyes? If you've never given your life to